Well, thank you all, everybody, for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm in here with a fella. Well, you know what? I'll just let this fella explain it to you. He's actually having a good day, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I am having a good day. I am here. But I'm a little bit freaked out because the Pentagon's new disclosure.
Oh, you're talking about the UAP stuff?
Yeah, it's the largest of its kind.
Hey, do you like UAP or UFO better? I like UFO because it's kind of old school.
Well, I'm definitely, I don't know why they changed the name of it.
Y'all like my squeaky chair, folks?
Yeah, everybody hears it. You need to get some WD-40.
I think something's backed out of it.
Some fast break or something, or just get a whole new chair.
I need to get a whole new chair, but I like it.
I'm not that freaked out about this disclosure because there's like 162 files featuring videos and photographs and official documents.
Yeah.
The problem is with AI, man. I don't know if any of this is real. You know what I mean? If it was like 15 years ago.
None of it or all of it? Yeah.
15 years ago, I'd have been like my jaw on the ground. Like, this is incredible. But now I'm like, dude, they could have just made this up last week.
Well, I think that's probably part of the reason, too, right? Is like, you still don't know.
No. And why now?
Yeah.
We've been asking for this disclosure for 50 years and they're just now doing it.
There's got to be a reason they're just now letting you see it. It's exactly it. But look, I tell you what it does for me. Is I'm like, yeah, well, now maybe people will actually take it serious.
Oh, yeah.
Because right? Like you understand like abductions. Yeah, that stuff's real. And now it makes me think about everything else could very well be alien, could be real. Like maybe the magic of this world has never been taken away. All of the stuff that we've talked about. It's just we've been lied to about it. It's been covered up and now it's coming to
life. Oh, yeah. I mean, for years, everybody in my family thought I was crazy because of the stuff I believed and talked about. Because my whole life I've believed in aliens are here and UFOs and all these crazy, wild stories you hear about. And, of course, I mean, it led to a show one day. I had no idea when I was researching and looking into that information as a child that it would turn into something. But, yeah, now they're like, man, maybe you were right the whole time. And I'm like, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, bro.
A lot of conspiracies seem to be real.
Yeah, for real, right?
Like, I mean, no matter what you're talking about. Like, you and I were just chatting before the show started, but you were talking about Tartaria.
Yeah, it's just crazy finding all this stuff. Like, Antarctica. That's what I still get hung up in all of this ancient history stuff. Like, the idea that they found another Sphinx that's directly across from the other Sphinx buried in the sand. Or all the stuff that they find in Egypt, the old casks that are perfect. Like, literally within, like, less than the size of a human hair variance.
Yeah, right.
Like, how do you make that, right? Like, you can't.
And they're making it out of granite sometimes, some of those vases and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, look, the Sphinx, bringing back the Sphinx, there's no doubt in my mind that once had a lion's head on it.
And it's water erosion.
Yeah, I mean, why would you make a cat body with a pharaoh's head on it?
Why wouldn't you?
It doesn't make any sense.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course it was a lion. And it probably was built and constructed because of the age that they were in.
I need to find somebody.
Leo or something.
We need to really practice, like, make one out of chicken wire. I'm going to make one with, like, your face on it.
A Sphinx.
Yeah, a Sphinx you can have in your backyard. I don't know, like 6 foot, 3x6 or something. Nothing huge. Just sitting in your front yard, and it's just a Sphinx with your face on it looking out at the road.
A jimmikin.
Yeah, and then your wife can put all of her flowers around it.
Yeah, that would definitely happen.
Have you been?
I've been good. I mean, I'm disappointed.
Dude, I've not hardly seen you. I was worried when the stars got knocked out.
You thought I ended it all?
I was afraid you were going to be dangling in the garage. I was going to have to come over there and find your corpse. I didn't know what was going on.
Nah, it's okay. They just didn't play good. I think they were really beat up.
Yeah.
Like Jim Neal came out and talked about all their injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm still enjoying the playoffs, though. I've been watching on, I'm rooting for the Sabres.
You were telling me they haven't won.
No.
Well, it's Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Buffalo needs to get a win every now and then.
They haven't wanted anything. Rick James, I think he's from Buffalo. That's about the best thing that's ever come out.
I'm Rick James.
And Wings, of course, Wings. But I've been watching the Sabres. I really like this Benson kid because he's got a lot of spunk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's only like 5'10", 170 pounds.
Really?
But this guy gets after
it. Well, he has to because he's playing monsters.
He's like a honey badger, the watch him play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of points, so that's been interesting.
Nice.
The Cubs are the best team in baseball.
You're never going to not be a Cubs fan.
They've won 10 in a row. I mean, they've only got 123 more games to play, but as of right now, they're on top. So
only got.
That's hopeful.
only gut.
Yeah, my garden's doing really good. Yes, and thanks to several people that have reached out to us about the tornadoes that hit Mentor Wells.
Oh, yeah.
That is a neighboring town to where we live, about 20 miles away. But yeah, no, it was just storms here. Thank God.
Yep.
And that's me, is when the storms are coming, all I'm worried about is my garden.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Well, weren't you coming back you were texting me and you were like,
yeah, I was like, dude, is it storming there?
I'm like, bro, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, you're
And then it dodged us.
Yeah.
By a few miles again, like not a lot of mileage, maybe missed us by like 8 miles the way it come across.
Yeah, it was towards my parents' house. They said on 180 right there between their house and Cool.
And then, yeah, and then they dodged them. It just kind of went. But I think it lifted when it got over in that area because it tore up everything on the fort and Fort Walters that we've discussed on the show and all that in Mentor Wells. It tore up a bunch of that stuff over there.
Speaking of Fort Walters, when I was young, we used to go to these.
That was a long time ago.
These long distance rifle competitions. They have the 1,000-yard iron sight competitions out there. And I would work the range, the traps.
Pull it down
in the ground.
Where it was at. Lift it up.
So you could hear it sounds like a bullwhip cracking is what the bullets sound like. And it's a bunch of old men. We use an M1 Garands.
You say old men. They were probably your age now.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. But as a kid,
that's what it was.
That was interesting. Yeah. And I remember thinking even as a kid, I was like, man, they're shooting 1,000 yards iron sights.
With old Garands.
Yeah, these guys are probably ex-Vietnam veterans and World War II veterans and stuff.
Koreans, and Korean veterans,
And these guys were doing it. I remember them winning. And they were like, man, that old guy. And I remember working the range and like, this dude is hitting dinner plates at 1,000 yards.
With iron sights,
iron sights, bro.
True.
I can't do that with the best Swarovski scope you gave me.
My eyes are so terrible now.
Oh, mine are terrible.
That's why I have to hunt trad, so I got to be real close.
You know, they're like, do you see the string blur? I'm like, man, the arrow's blurry.
All I see is blur. So my good buddy Dakota that I trained with, he's living in Japan now with his wife and kids, but they're working. We used to laugh when he was fighting MMA, right? Because he had like 8 or 9 fights. Did well. I think he only lost 1 or 2. The joke was that if he could see you, he knew you were within range to punch you.
Oh, wow.
Because it was blurry if they got out too far, right?
Yeah.
So he had just enough to where he didn't have to do anything when he fought. So that was always the joke, is Dakota's like, if I can see you clearly, I can hit you. That was the whole thing. Speaking of
We got hitting Mother's you, Day coming up to all the mothers out there.
Oh, that's right.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, ladies.
Yeah.
I've got something for you.
Oh, I've got a wild story for you.
Oh, do
you?
Well, let me kick this off.
Go ahead.
This is something you're going to love. This is something that's right up your alley. Took place on the outskirts of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Up there in Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky.
The Fighting Farmers. That's what they are. There is a Louisville, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the Fighting Farmers. Yes.
So this took place up there in Louisville, Kentucky. This is what the report was. It says, years ago, my pop told me about an experience that he had with his twin sister when they were children.
Okay.
My grandmother's house was located in a heavily forested area on the outskirts of Louisville, Kentucky. Now, as kids, we'd often walk through the woods because it was a shortcut in almost any direction. So one day, we're all walking through the woods going home. And they reached the tree line. So this is what the dad's talking about,
right? Yeah.
They said, hey, we reached the tree line in the backyard. He says, that's when my pop saw something standing there. He described it, get ready, as an all red.
I'm listening, sorry.
7 foot tall. Is the baseball game bleeding through?
Yeah,
folks, we have the Aggie baseball game playing in the background.
I can't see where the volume is.
It's on the side. Give me that before you mess something up.
Yeah, there we go. I was like, what am I hearing?
It was. Dude, it was on like a 4. It's barely coming through.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt your story. He saw something moving in the tree line.
He described this. Standing in the back, an all red, 7 foot tall creature that looked like a half man and a half bull.
Oh, a centaur.
A minotaur. Minotaur from Greek mythology. He said the creature had the upper body of a man, curved horns on its head, and the lower body of a beast.
What's crazy, though?
With two hairy legs and hooves.
What's crazy is there are a lot of sightings of these things.
It's weird, right?
It's weird.
Says, according to him, the creature was snorting and snarling. It was beating one hoof against the ground like it was preparing to charge. My pop said that there was nothing friendly about it. To him, the creature seemed evil, aggressive, and fully intent on harming them. He told my aunt that she needed to get away immediately, but he was shocked by her reaction. She said the creature was cute and that she wanted to pet it.
Of course.
My aunt was seeing the same being. but she was perceiving it in a completely different way. She said to her it looked nice and it was calling to her and that she wanted to go towards it. So my father refused to let that happen. He forced her away from the area, believing that they were both in very serious danger. Now, for years, I treated the story as just one of those strange family tales. Now, my father was never the type to tell ghost stories or make up really frightening accounts, but I still did not know what to think of it. So a few years after he had first told me, I was visiting my aunt. My father wasn't there with me at the time, so I just casually asked her about it. I expected her just to laugh it off and tell me the whole thing was a joke or that she had no idea. Instead, she confirmed it. She repeated every major detail my father had told me. She remembered the location, the creature, and the fact that she had seen it differently than he had. She described it as all red and cute, and that was a huge WTF moment for me because I believed both of them, and the story sounded terrifying. Now, my father is a very logical, God-fearing man, and my aunt was an honest and very sweet woman. Sadly, she was killed. She was murdered in Los Angeles in 2016.
Oh, man.
So even writing about this and talking about her is very emotional for me. She was my father's best friend and, of course, obviously my aunt. My father believes that they may have seen two different aspects of the exact same thing because he had personally recently accepted Jesus Christ into his life and she had not yet. And beyond that, he has no other explanation. They saw it one time and had never seen it again for the rest of their life. T.
And this happened in Kentucky. Remember, we had the listener that wrote into us. And it was his grandfather as well. Remember, he was talking about when his grandfather was little, they were sitting on the front porch of the cabin.
That's the centaur, right?
No electricity, yes.
Yeah.
And a centaur walked by. So there are these sightings. And I believe that sighting, I want to say that was Virginia or Kentucky as well. So it makes you wonder, were there a race of these things at that time that simply no longer exist? I mean, when we interviewed, what was his name, Nathan Couch?
Yeah, the Goat Man.
He wrote the book. If you're interested in this stuff, it's called Goat Man, Flesh or Folklore. And in there, there's lots of sightings of hunters and stuff. I remember there's a guy turkey hunting, and he just saw a centaur walk through the woods.
And I never even thought about it being the fact that maybe religion does play a part of it.
Right.
Like maybe you were seeing it as, or it was noticing you, right? As you always, because I think about Troll Hunter.
Yeah.
You think about that as, are you Christian? Yeah. Well, then you can't go.
Right.
Because it can smell you.
It can smell you.
Yeah. And then, so, I don't know, but that's the first thing I thought of when I thought of that is, like, it reacts differently to this one than this one.
Maybe that's where those missing scientists are.
Hey, maybe.
The Minotaur's getting them.
The Minotaur took them. So, what have you got for me? You got
something that's wild. Yes, yes. You're going to like this. This takes place in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Or at least the pastor is Louisiana.
It's good fishing down there.
It says, hey, guys, I really love the show.
Thanks.
I have a strange sighting I would like to share. I decided to write you because the people involved are family. And I know beyond any doubt they're not the kind of people who would make up stories or chase attention. In fact, my brother begged me not to share identifying details because he was terrified people in his congregation would think that he's lost his mind.
Mm.
My brother was a Baptist.
A Baptist? What's a Baptist?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I guess if you're going to have to pray to something, Baptist, huh?
My brother was a Baptist pastor.
I think I know some Baptists.
In a small Louisiana town near Dusson. Now, back then, when he and his wife lived in a trailer set up behind the church property, right off Highway 90, the church sat isolated at night, just a black stretch of parking lot lit by a few harsh security lights that buzzed and flickered like dying insects. One night, sometime after dark, they got home and noticed that there was a possum eating from the bowl of cat food that they kept outside. Now, my brother is a lifelong hunter and outdoorsman.
I love a grinner. Dude, I love them.
Louisiana swamps, snakes, alligators, none of it bothers him. But this thing, whatever it was, it changed him. The possum, he said, darted away when they pulled in and stopped near a tree at the far edge of the parking lot, maybe 50 yards from the trailer. My brother was sick of the animal tearing into the cat food every night, so he quietly went inside, grabbed his scoped 22 long rifle.
Don't kill the possum.
Switched off every light in the trailer and stretched out flat on the floor near the back door.
Just put the cat food up. You don't got to shoot the grinner, bro. He's just hanging out.
From where he lay, he had a perfect view of the parking lot through the darkness.
Snapping a possum.
That's what he's doing.
Here we go.
He could see the animal clearly beneath the security lights. Its eyes reflected back at him like two burning coins, he said. He settled in and waited for it to move a little closer. For several minutes, nothing happened. The possum just sat there under the tree. Then it started creeping toward the trailer again. Halfway across the parking lot, directly beneath the brightest light, it stopped. And that's when my brother realized something was horribly wrong. He said the animal began to change. Not gradually, not naturally. Its body twisted and stretched in ways that made no noise or any sense. The spine arched upward with a wet, jerking motion. The limbs elongated, and the fur seemed to shrink back against the skin that looked pale and tight as old paper. Within seconds, the possum was gone. Standing there instead was something roughly 6 foot tall.
What?
Humanoid. But wrong in every possible way. It had impossibly thin arms and legs, like bones wrapped in gray skin. Its torso was narrow and frail-looking, almost starved. The head was too small for the body. He said it was unnaturally small and sat crooked on its shoulders as though its neck could barely support it. My brother said the thing paced back and forth beneath the parking lot lights in complete silence. And all the while, it kept turning its head toward the trailer, towards him. He swears that it knew exactly where he was lying, even though he was hidden in total darkness. The eyes reflected the light the same way the possums had, except now they were much higher off the ground, staring straight at the house. He told me every instinct in his body was screaming at him to run, but he couldn't move. He said he lay there, frozen with the rifle in his hands, watching this impossible thing pace beneath the church lights. Then after several minutes, the creature stopped. Its body folded inward, violently, limbs snapping and shrinking until it dropped back down onto all four legs. Just like that, it was a possum again. It scurried back to the base of the tree and stared toward the trailer. A few minutes later, my sister-in-law came out of the shower wrapped in a towel, and my brother whispered for her to get down beside him and look toward the tree, past those trees.
There it is.
He intentionally didn't tell her what he'd already seen because he didn't want to influence her. She lay beside him on the floor and watched. The parking lot was dead silent. Then the possum stepped back out from the shadows. Again, it moved beneath the security light. Again, it changed. My sister-in-law immediately recoiled and whispered, "What is that?" My brother said her voice sounded like he was on the verge of panic. She told him that she believed that they were looking at some sort of demon. And then things got worse. They both heard a loud rustling sound, heavy, dry crackling, coming from the creature's back. My brother said two enormous feathered wings slowly unfolded from behind it. Not bat wings, feathered wings. Huge ones. He estimated the wingspan at no less than 12 feet across. The thing spread them wide beneath the church lights while staring directly at the trailer. Then it began flapping. The sound, according to him, was deep and heavy, not like a bird, but like someone beating blankets in the dark. The creature lifted off the ground and hovered maybe 15 feet in the air, still staring at them, still facing their house. My sister-in-law started crying. Then the thing flew toward the trailer. They could hear the wings over the roof as it passed directly above them. My brother said the entire trailer seemed to vibrate under this sound. That finally broke him out of his paralysis. He ran outside just in time to see the figure gliding beyond the house in the moonlight. He said it looked skeletal against the sky with those massive wings stretching out behind it. Then, as if he knew he was watching, it turned. The creature circled back once more over the trailer before disappearing into the darkness beyond the church property. My brother and his wife barely slept the rest of that night. What bothers him most isn't just what he saw, it's the certainty that the thing saw him first, like it had been aware of them the entire time. Now, to this day, he refuses to talk about it publicly. This is a man who handles snakes with his bare hands and has spent nights alone in the swamps without any fear. But when he told me this story, I could hear something in his voice I'd never heard before. He sounded disturbed, not excited, not dramatic, disturbed. Anyways, guys, I know how unbelievable this sounds, but I swear to you that this came from people I trust completely. Take it for what it's worth. CR.
Wow.
A demon.
Dude, well, first of all, do you fire on it when it's in the demon shape, or do you wait till it's back in the possum shape before you open fire?
Here's what I would do.
And go inside?
Yeah. Well, the 22 long rifle, no, I'm probably not shooting at it. If you had something heavier, like a 30-06.
If you had that M1 you were talking about?
Then you take the shot. Yeah, but not 22 long rifle. You're like, nah, not unless I had an FRT and like a 200-round drum on. If you know, you know. You know what I'm saying?
You get at your 45-70 lever action, just eat your Henry out and go to work.
Yeah, right. Dude, mare's leg.
All jokes aside, what could it be other than some sort of demon?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a
monkey around a church like that? Like, what else are you going to do?
I mean, look at all the sightings in and around Chicago.
Bro, I don't like that.
Look at the Mothman. Maybe this was the Mothman.
Possums. Now I got to think about every possum I see. What if they all can turn into that? What if that's just what they do? We just don't know it.
Well, we've talked about it before. The trash bag duendes. Right?
Good point.
Yeah. I got another wild story, but let's take a break.
Okay.
We got to pay some bills. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor.
Yes!
IQ Bar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel you need to win your day. All right, folks, let me ask you something. You ever hit that point in the day where your brain just, well, kind of logs off, like
every
Windows
day.
95 shutdown noise.
That's
you can
right.
hear it. Screen goes black. Nothing's happening up there. Well, that's me every day about 2:17 p.m. And that's where IQ Bar comes in to save what little dignity I have left. Their ultimate sampler pack is actually the perfect gift if you're like us and you can't commit to anything, not even your snacks. In that pack, you'll get 9 IQ bars, 8 IQ mix sticks, and 4 IQ Joe sticks, which is great. Because it gives you your options depending on whether you need energy, whether you want hydration, or you want a full-on personality reboot. And here's the thing. We don't mess around with snacks that we feel like are punishment. You know what I'm talking about. You want to eat right. You want to eat clean, but
yeah.
They taste terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know the ones. Tastes like drywall. Tastes like regret. You know, not these. These are packed with clean ingredients like magnesium and lion's mane. Stuff that actually helps your brain function, which for me is a big ask. Plus, the plant protein bars, no added sugar, tons of fiber, so you're not crashing 20 minutes later wondering why you just ate 3 donuts and are now contemplating your life choices. And the flavors, man, this is where it gets dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Mint chocolate chip bars, blueberry pomegranate hydration mixes, vanilla spice coffees. I start the day trying to be disciplined and end like, well, I deserve all these. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all 3. Personally, IQ Bar has become part of our daily routine. I know Cam uses it too.
Mm-hmm.
I like to start my morning with a little IQ Joe to wake up my brain. I grab a snack bar when I need a quick snack, and I hit the IQ mix when I realize I hadn't drank any water in a while.
Yeah.
Cam, you love it.
I didn't know I liked mint chocolate chip as much as till I start. Now, I don't like it mint and everything, but those mint right. chocolate chip bars, dude, I cannot get enough of them. I carry them with me when I go to the stand. I carry them with me when I leave. I've got my granddaughter eating them. She likes them, and she can be picky. You know how kids can be. She can be picky. They got plenty of flavors for them that they're going to like, too. And right now, y'all, IQ Bar is offering our special, that's y'all, podcast listeners, 20% off of all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack. And you're going to get free shipping. Who doesn't like free? And to get your 20% off, it's easy. Just text the word EXPANDED, EXPANDED, to 64,000. That's right. Text EXPANDED to 64,000. That's 64,000. Just text EXPANDED to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
back with expanded perspectives. I got a couple of dog man stories.
Okay.
I always find these intriguing.
Before you get into the dog man.
Yeah, sure.
I have a one-off story here that I've been... It goes with this possum story in a way. It's a complete one-off thing, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And then I'll turn it over to you to run with some dog man stuff. This took place in Connecticut, Oxford, just outside of Oxford, Connecticut. Listen to this. It says, I own 14 acres of woodland property just outside of Oxford, Connecticut, and the entire area around my property is very heavily forested. On August 3rd of 2022, at about 10:45 p.m., I was driving down my driveway when I saw something bizarre run out of the woods to my left. Now, it crossed directly in front of me, then disappeared into the woods and the yard of the property on the right. This creature was bipedal, stood about 4 foot tall. It was very thin and maybe about as wide as my thigh. I was only about 10 yards away, so I got a very good look at it as it passed. The best way I can describe it is that it looked like a tree on legs. It had small arms, but I didn't see any normal body shape. There were no visible curves, hips, shoulders, or anything that looked human. It was just straight, skinny, and brown. It had no fur or hair. It moved lightning fast and looked light as a feather, almost as if it was not even touching the ground. I didn't hear any sound of it at all while it was running. The woods were also strangely quiet. The birds and other animals were completely silent. When it ran, it did not prance like an animal or run like a human. Its legs moved in a strange circular motion, almost like someone pedaling a bicycle. I mostly saw the back of it and a little of its right side. Now, I didn't see the front of the body or the face. Now, during this time, I didn't see a tail, I didn't see ears, or any other body parts that would make me think it was a normal animal or a person. Now, about 2 months before this happened, I was outside around 10 o'clock that evening, and I heard two owls hooting back and forth. Then I heard a god-awful screeching sound. Now, it wasn't a fisher cat, and it wasn't a screech owl. I have no idea if this sound was related to what I saw later, but that thought has always stayed with me. Now, I don't use any type of drugs, and I very rarely drink, and I'm also not on any medication. I don't know if this thing was an alien, but I do know I don't know what it could have been. I didn't see any craft or lights. I like that. I do know that I don't know. I didn't see any craft or lights, and I wasn't about to talk or go walking through the woods to look for anything else that could lead to this, Mark.
But it looked like a tree.
A 4 foot or 3 to 4 foot tall tree. I thought of the stick people, right? Oh, like little stick men or something like that. You look like it could have been a bundle of trees. It could have been a single tree, but a tiny tree ant doing the way he's running with his legs kicking all like in circles, cartoon style.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Ents from like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like a tiny version of it. So,
man, that's...
It's pretty wild, right?
Do you think trees can walk?
Well, I was telling you off air about watching that crazy clip of that guy's video and all this stuff and taking these measurements and things like
that. Tell everybody about that.
I'm sure all of y'all have seen it. I don't know what it was on. It popped up on my Instagram feed or something that somebody sent me. I don't remember what it was. But it's like a guy claiming that he's lived in this house forever. And he remembers one tree always being there in the corner of his yard. And he's got pictures of that tree being there from back in the day. But there's another tree by it that he's never seen and that he doesn't have any memory of.
Yeah, right.
And he claims that that tree is getting closer, so much so that he does measurements. He ties like rope or whatnot in between the tree that he knows is there and the tree that appears to be moving closer to him. And he's had that where the rope. Now, here's one thing I always thought about. He ties the rope in between. The next day, it's sagging. Mm-hmm. Okay. Something could have come along that evening because it doesn't matter. I mean, if you take paracord, for instance, 550 is very stretchy. That's the reason you can't use it for a lot of certain lashing and things like that, because there's a lot of give. You string up a lot of rope, grab it and pull the middle, it's going to stretch.
Right.
So let's say something came along and you know, was had landed on it, a bird. And it didn't have to be, I guess, a lot of weight, not a little bird, or let's say anything could have made it stretch, maybe. But then he has another footage of the same rope he's tied back on, and then it breaks because the tree has moved now further away. And I don't mean by like a half inch. We're talking like 5, 6, 7 inches movement in difference. So I don't know. I saw those videos, and like you always pointed out, when you start talking about AI stuff, you're like, you can't believe
any even of if it. You had video any footage, like he set up security cameras filming it 24/7,
yeah,
and you saw it move. It's like with AI now, I don't know what to believe.
Well, I want to know if they're going to have a resurgence selling actual like VHS style tapes. If that's going to make a comeback, where you're filming with like film.
Oh, I got you.
Right, yeah. To where when you video it, it's videoed. Like we've talked about, we've got friends that have some videos that they've taken at the deer lease of some very strange things back in the 90s.
Yep.
Right. So when you look at it, like, yeah, it's kind of grainy, and, but you're like, I don't know what that is moving down through the woods. Like that makes no sense whatsoever moving through there. So, you know, it's not AI, but I just wonder if it's going to make a full resurgence to what you're not considered a legit investigator unless you have like really awesome, I guess, like an actual tactile, real non-digital right. video, non-digital, like film camera, film video cameras, whatever it is, where you're capturing real stuff.
It reminds me of that alien abduction video that came out back in the 90s. It was like a Thanksgiving dinner. And it was all filmed with like VHS and made like home videos.
Well, it was also, I always think back to, what is it? The Blair Witch.
Yeah, right. Same thing.
The Blair Witch idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about.
So what kind of wacky dog man stuff have you got for me now?
This is crazy because you were talking about that sighting of the walking tree happening in August of 2022. This sighting also happened in August of 2022.
Ooh, where at?
In Oregon.
Okay.
It says, I saw something on August 1st, 2002, around midnight that I still cannot explain. I live near Newport, Oregon, in a neighborhood that sits near the edge of a large forest behind our house. So this is not completely rural, but it is not far removed from the woods either. The odd part is how the whole thing started. I had set up a live trap for a mouse. I do not catch and release because I cannot stand to harm mice. Around midnight, the trap went off, and the loud pop of the door woke me up. I did not want to leave the mouse in the cage all night until morning. I could hear it trying to chew through the wires, and I was worried it would hurt itself trying to escape. So I decided to take it out right away and release it. I do not release mice in my own yard, and I'm not going to put one near someone else's house and create a problem for them. I usually drive about 3 miles away into a forested area and let them go there. You got to feed the owls.
Like, right? That makes it so much better on the mice.
Before I even
got fend for yourself, as long as you're not in my yard, take off.
Before I even got into my car, my stomach suddenly began hurting in a way I had never felt before.
Maybe you should have eaten the mouse.
It was not just a normal stomach ache. It felt like a deep, painful, foreboding sensation. Almost as if something was warning me that something terrible was about to happen. Oh, yeah, it is. You better find a porta pot.
That mouse is acting up.
I almost never get stomach problems, so this stood out immediately. The feeling was intense, and I kept getting the sense that something was wrong. I got in the car with the little cage and started driving. I'd gone only about one block from my house when I instantly slowed down because I saw something enormous on the side of the road. At first, I thought it was the tallest dog I've ever seen. Its silhouette was darker than the night around it. I slowed from about 20 miles per hour to maybe 10 miles per hour. Then it stepped out into the streetlight and walked across the road in front of my car. It was not running. It was not moving slowly either. That was when I realized this was not an ordinary dog. I also knew it was not a bear because it did not have the body shape or belly of a bear. This thing was 3 or 4 times the size of a wolf. I could say with certainty that this was not a wolf. What I saw looked like a humanoid hunched over on all fours. Its back was raised in a strange, erect hunch as it moved across the road. The head was distinctly wolf-like and enormous. It literally looked like a giant wolf head. The fur was jet black as hair can get. The legs were lanky, and my brain, it just froze. I immediately began trying to rationalize what I was looking at, but it was impossible. The closest comparison I can make is the werewolf form from Harry Potter, the one Professor Lupin turns into. All I could think of was, how did they know? That image is nearly identical to what this thing looked like while hunched over and walking on all fours. It was horrifying. On all fours, its backside was probably 4 to 4.5 feet high. The head was higher, easily reaching 5 foot. There was no way this was a bear or some other regular animal. There was nothing familiar about it. If someone suggested it was a large, sick dog hunched over, I would definitely say no. It was bigger than the largest dog breeds I have ever seen. A regular dog cannot be over 4 foot tall at the back while hunched over. It was too skinny to be a bear, and the humanoid aspect of it cannot be denied. I could tell that if it wanted to, it could have easily stood up on two legs. What made it even more disturbing was that I could feel its energy. It felt dark, man. Oppressive.
Oh, amber is the color of your energy.
And dangerous.
Uh-oh.
There was something very otherworldly about it.
Yeah.
I kept driving slowly and looked to the left side of the road as I passed, trying to see where it had gone. I saw the silhouette near a bush. It was looking back at me, watching me pass. I did not stop. I was scared. I continued on with my original plan and released the mouse. But when I got back home, I ran into my garage and shut the garage door as fast as I could.
Should have gave it the mouse.
Right? I was panicked and truly terrified. People always say, when you know what you saw, you know what you saw. And that is how I feel. I also know my mind did not just fill in the blanks, and I did not hallucinate this either. Later that night, I started looking up accounts of Dogman. I found descriptions and drawings that were very similar to what I saw. What are the odds of that? Now I'm convinced that this thing is real. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would see something like this. R.H.
Mm-mm.
Listen, it sounded like you had an upset tummy. If I saw that, it would have been a problem.
Yeah, you'd had to have real detailing of the vehicle after that was over with. Dude, look, I love dogman stories, but I hate the idea of actually coming across one.
Yeah, it always seems demonic to me.
Yeah, it always seems very, very dark and very not good. At all. I mean, even like, I remember off air, we talked for quite a bit, several times with Miss Linda whenever she was still with us. And it was almost like the same thing. Like everybody kind of knew, like, this just feels like real dark stuff.
Yeah. Lots of people explain feeling the energy.
Yeah. Like it's not like we always bring up, you don't get that feeling when you see Bigfoot.
No, not typically. Typically, Bigfoot's characterized as being a warden of the forest. He's very kind. He's the, you know, like Harry and the Hendersons. But there are certain stories.
I still
stories.
Love that show.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
I love that show.
There are sightings where it's aggressive, but most of the time it's not aggressive unless you're aggressive to it.
Yeah, unless somehow, you're monkeying around out there with it or like you're in its area. They seem more territorial, but they don't mean anything like bad by it.
And they seem to know what a gun is.
Yeah.
Like, even if you haven't fired it, like, they just know what you're holding.
But these dogmen don't seem to care about guns at all.
Some of them seem impervious to them.
Yeah.
Like, people have claimed to have shot them.
Yeah.
And it's done nothing to it. Same thing out there in Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
I think there was a guy that said that they shot what they thought was a coyote.
And nothing.
It was like, it was a skinwalker. The way they knew that is because the bullets didn't do anything to
just
it.
Just absorbed it and kept cruising.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's one of those deals that I can only imagine, like, you're out there with your rifle that you've hunted with forever. Like, well, you know what it's going to do to anything that you've collected a lot of animals with it. You know what I'm saying? And you touch it off on one of those, and you're like, well, I know that was a hit. And you rack another round in and go ahead and settle it.
Knock the dust off it.
Yeah, and you touch it off again, and this thing's just, it's reacting, but that's, you know, as far as, like, movement from it hitting, but it's not doing anything to it. That's very unsettling.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about the whole folklore of werewolves. You know, like,
you need silver bullets?
People transforming into it. Like, maybe it's all just stories about skinwalkers.
Yeah. Or some sort of demonic possession or something that's causing them to transform.
Well, what do they call it in the movie? The curse of the werewolf.
Yeah.
You literally are cursed.
Of the Lupin, baby. You're lycanthropy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lycanthropy. Yeah, dude. Yeah. But I've... we don't get a lot of dogman sightings around this area.
Thank God.
Yeah, right? No joke.
The only one that I can think of is the one that took place in Toler, where the boy died and they had game wardens and everything come out.
Yeah.
And they could prove it wasn't a cat, but something attacked him.
Upright.
Yeah, and yeah, animalistic.
That's the thing, yeah.
It wasn't done with a blade, wasn't done with a wine opener. Like, they could tell it was claws and fangs.
Something bad.
But what was it? Somebody had a pet mandrill and it got escaped? I mean, like, what are we talking about?
Dude, that's bad. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I've got one here that I'm going to share with you. It's not dog man.
It's not a minotaur?
It's not a minotaur. It's not a walking tree. It's not a killer possum. This is just something that's more unsettling, I would say, than anything else. It takes place in Ontario.
Okay.
Get a load of this. It says this actually occurred, or was reportedly occurred, on May of 2015 in Dufferin County, Ontario, Canada. It says a friend of mine recently told me about a strange experience that happened on his property. Now, he owns a few hundred acres of land that he leases out to farmers for crop production. The area is very quiet, with a few houses nearby, and very little traffic along the back roads. Now, at the time, his house was being remodeled, so he was staying in a trailer located towards the rear of the property. Now, around him, there was mostly a potato field, with an old barn standing out in the distance. So one night at about 1 a.m., he was woken up by his dogs going crazy. They're barking and scratching at the door and acting like something outside had them worked up. When he went to let them out, he noticed bright yellow lights behind the nearby barn and also shining from inside it. At first, his thought was trespassers out here, you know, looking around in the barn trying to steal something.
It's young blood training in there with that heavy bag. Remember the movie?
Yeah. So he lets the dogs loose, grabs his rifle. As he's loading it, As he's loading it, he says he heard the dog suddenly change from aggressive barking to yelping and whining.
Uh-oh.
A moment later, they come barreling back into the trailer and hid under the kitchen table. He immediately thought that whoever was outside may have hurt or frightened his dogs. So he steps out of the trailer, fires 5 rounds into the air, and begins yelling towards the barn while preparing another magazine. That is when the lights around the barn become incredibly bright. Now, he admitted at that point he was truly frightened. He stood there staring at the lights, trying to understand what he's seeing. That's when he noticed 2 beings casually walking across the field towards the barn. He describes them as humanoid, pale white, tall, and thin.
Aliens.
Their heads were very small in proportion to their bodies. He estimated they were around 6 to 6.5 feet tall, with much of that height in the legs. He also said that they moved in a very strange way. Their upper bodies looked almost stiff, like locked in place, while their legs moved fluidly and unnaturally. He says at times it looked as if they were bringing their knees nearly up towards their chest as they walked. I'm thinking they're just out there doing high knees in a potato field, getting their workout on, right?
Yeah, and normally he said the heads are smaller than the body. Usually they're more bulbous.
Yeah, so not these. It's all legs. Crazy thing. He says fear took over. So he takes aim and fires 3 rounds at the beings. According to him, they completely stopped moving. Then he noticed a 3rd figure to his left. This one was much closer to the trailer, but was walking away from him. He turned and went back in the trailer, intending to retrieve his handguns. When he looked again, the light outside had vanished. Now, he remained inside the trailer until the mornings. The dogs stayed inside and made no noise the rest of the night. He didn't check the barn out until 2 days later.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
And when he finally did, he said he found nothing unusual. But there were no burn marks, there were no holes, no tracks, and no obvious damage. The barn and the field appeared completely normal. He told me that the incident unsettled him for quite some time afterward. But nothing strange has happened on the property since. He also mentioned that not far from his property, there's a large fenced off military area in the woods. He described it as being surrounded with barbed wire with what appeared to be vents protruding from the ground inside the perimeter. He was told that the site was used to listen to and broadcast messages into space. That's the account as it was given to me. I was curious to know what others might think these beings could have been. I know I didn't tell it perfectly, so if there's any questions, I'll try and ask them and get a little more information, Sean.
Wow.
Sounds like three alien beings. And what made me think is, look, the UAP stuff, UFO stuff's been released.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe these things are out there.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So are all the videos I've ever seen of living extraterrestrials that we had in custody, are those real?
I'm going to say yes.
That's wild.
I want to say yes. You know what I mean? Like, I want it all to be like, yeah, yeah, that's all real.
What was it, Skinny Bob?
Skinny Bob. They're saying that that video of Skinny Bob. Now, they do say that one of the videos of Skinny Bob has been altered. You can tell it looks like they've done more to his face and all this. One of the guys I've seen interviewed talking about it was like, no, I've seen Skinny Bob personally.
Right.
Seen Skinny Bob. And like, that's him. That's the thing. Skinny Bob been hanging out with him for a hot minute.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s when that video came out. I don't know if it was on Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
Or
when they were doing the
alien autopsy, remember? Yeah. And they were like, oh, no, this is fake. And you're like, well, maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't so fake after all. Or maybe it was real and then they've added enough to it to make it give the appearance of it being fake, or enough to where it's like, oh, yeah, but the original footage was real.
Yeah. I don't know. It makes you second guess everything.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's part of the reason why. Is why they've dropped it all.
I got another Dogman story.
Yeah.
From the birthplace of Dogman stories, this comes from Wisconsin.
Hey!
It says, I know how this is going to sound, and I understand why some people may think I'm crazy for telling it, but this is the absolute truth. God is my witness. This happened during the summer of 2002, a few miles north of Caroline, in Shawano County, Wisconsin.
Sweet Caroline.
I was 15 years old at the time and lived on a small dairy farm. Behind the farmhouse were about 80 acres of our land, and beyond that was a neighbor's property, mostly wooded, with a small pond that crossed both property lines. Now, at that age, I had a lot of freedom to move around the farm and the neighboring property. As long as I did not bother the cattle, I was good to go. I was usually out there with my .22 long rifle or pellet gun, watching for anything that moved. In the weeks leading up to the incident, I remember finding an unusual number of deer and calf carcasses around the pond.
Hmm.
There may have been maybe 5 or 6 within a 3-week period, which is unusual. Now, at first, I didn't think too much of it. We had black bears in the area, and bears could take a sick deer or occasionally get a hold of a calf. It just happens. Still looking back, the number of carcasses around that pond now seems important. The encounter happened around the beginning of August. My bedroom was on the second floor of the old farmhouse. It was built around 1920. We did not have air conditioning, so during the summer, I usually slept with my window open and a small fan running. My window faced the back of the property. From there, I could see the fields very clearly. One side was mostly straw, and the other was corn, with a fence dividing them. Below my window was a small backyard cut into the hayfield, where my mother kept a large garden. One night, I woke up to a strange sound outside. The best way I can describe it was a rooting sound, like a pig makes. I do not remember the exact time, but I believe it was between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. As I lay there listening, I started thinking about how odd it was. My family did not keep hogs, and neither did any of the neighbors. I'd never seen a feral hog in that area, and I'd never heard of anyone else seeing one either. The longer I listened, the more unsettled I became. My headboard was just to the right height of the window, so my face was only about 2 feet from the open window. The window was a little too high for me to simply lean out and look down. I did not turn on my bedroom light because the moon was bright enough to illuminate the fields outside. I sat up quickly. I flipped the covers off and put my feet on the floor. The instant I moved, the rooting and the grunting stopped. That was when I realized that whatever was outside, it could hear me. My heart started racing, and it became harder to breathe. I sat there for what felt like forever, though it was probably only about 30 seconds. Then, slowly, the rooting and grunting started again, and after a short time, it returned to the same intensity that had wakened me in the first place. I convinced myself that whatever it was had already forgotten about me. I slowly stood up, being careful not to creak the floorboards, and moved just far enough to look out the window. What I saw has haunted me for more than 20 years. Down by my mother's garden, about 50 or 60 feet from the back wall of the house, I saw something crouched at the edge of the plants. I could mostly see its silhouette in the moonlight, but I knew immediately that this was not a pig. It was not a bear, a fox, coyote, wolf, badger, wolverine, or any other animal that I could identify. For a brief second, the shape reminded me of Quasimodo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It was rounded over, hunched, and appeared to be squatting on its back legs while digging rapidly at the edge of the garden. It moved in a strange side-to-side hopping motion, almost like a monkey, shifting maybe 8 inches in either direction before continuing to dig. It was tearing apart the edge of the garden, making loud rooting and grunting sounds. After a few minutes, it rounded the edge of the garden and began digging alongside that ran parallel to the house. Its back was now facing me. It continued in the same hopping movement while digging aggressively. Then everything changed. After about 5 minutes, the creature suddenly stopped. The digging stopped. The grunting stopped. It just sat there motionless for maybe 15 seconds, and then it rose up on its back legs. It stood there, just like a human being, facing out towards the fields and the woods. It remained upright for about 10 seconds, then turned slightly to the right. That's when I got a better look at its form. This thing was huge. I would estimate it was 6 to 6.5 feet tall with a massive barrel chest. It only turned briefly, but that side view was enough for me to understand how large this thing was. Then again, it began walking on two legs, right through the garden and into the hayfield. It got about 50 feet out before the darkness made it harder to see. I was squinting, trying to keep it in sight. Then it dropped back down on all fours and started running. It ran like a dog, diagonally towards the left of the fence that divided the hayfield from the cornfield. Then it leaped clean over the old barbed wire fence, which was probably 4.5 feet high. Beyond the field was a pond between our land and the neighbor's property. I went back to bed and started crying. I was not sobbing, but tears came out as I stared at the ceiling. I did not know how long it took me to fall asleep, probably 2 or 3 hours. The next morning, I woke up to my mother making breakfast and ran outside to check the garden. It was all torn up. I was definitely not dreaming. I ran back inside yelling to my mother and father about what I had seen. I told them to look at the garden if they didn't believe me. My mother went outside and said that some animal must have been tearing through their garden searching for food. I tried explaining everything I had watched from my window, but they stared at me like I was speaking another language. They told me I must have been dreaming or mistaken. Later, my mother filled in the holes and straightened the garden, so any trace of what had happened was now gone. I never went back to that pond again. At that point, and even now, I was convinced that whatever I saw was responsible for the deer and the calf carcasses I found out there. I lived in that house for another 5 years and never returned to that pond. When school started again, I cautiously asked a few friends who lived nearby if they'd ever seen anything out of the ordinary. None of them had. I tried telling a few people what I saw, but they laughed and called me crazy, and that was the end of it. I don't know what I saw, but I believe I saw a dog, man. Thanks for all you do, James. So wild. Another.
Dude, what was it digging for?
Radishes. Onions, tubers.
Or it's left something out there.
Or maybe it's burying something.
Exactly. Or maybe there was something out there it's been looking for generations.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wild.
That is crazy.
Another dogman story.
Look, I've got one. If you're sharing dogman, I got a dogman story.
All right, let's do one more and then we'll take a break.
I got to share this one with you. It says, hi, guys. This event took place in northwestern Ohio during the summer of 2018. I was camping with my brother along Lake Erie near the Pickerel Creek Wildlife Area, just west of our home in Sandusky, Ohio. The first night, we went to sleep early, sometime around 2:30 a.m. I woke up to relieve myself. Now, my brother was still fast asleep. The moon was so nearly full, and there was enough light for me to see fairly well outside of the tent. There were not many bushes around our campsite, so I didn't feel overly concerned about anything hiding nearby. I walked a short distance away from camp, and that was when I saw something that scared the hell out of me. There were two dog-like creatures, two, Kyle, okay, standing not far from me, staring directly at me. When I say standing, I mean they were standing upright on two legs. Well, I completely freaked out. I ran back towards the tent, and as I ran, I heard what sounded like them coming after me. They're making the strangest noises. It was not really like a dog or a wolf. It sounded more human than animal, and it was the scariest sound that I've ever heard. I was too afraid to turn around. I thought that at any second they were going to pounce on me and attack, but they never did. When I reached the tent, I dove inside. I scared my brother awake, and he immediately asked me what's going on. I told him what had just happened. He looked at me strangely, then laughed and told me to shut up. I told him if he didn't believe me, just go outside and see for yourself. He laughed again and said, sure thing, I have to go anyway. I watched him stand up and head out of the tent. I knew this was serious, and I could not let him go out there by himself, so I just followed him into the darkness. My eyes took a few seconds to adjust. Then I saw my brother standing about 20 yards away, staring towards the trees. I walked up beside him and looked in the same direction. At first, we were staring into pitch black woods. Then, as my eyes adjusted, I could see something standing in the shadows. It was part dog, part man. It didn't move. It didn't growl. It just stood there, upright, looking at us. The upper half looked just like a German shepherd. It had a dog-like head, yellow eyes, and hair covering the upper body. The human part seemed to begin around mid-torso and continued downward. It stood on two legs, just like a man. The upper body hairy like a dog, the lower body hairless like that of a male human. I whispered to my brother and asked him what he thought it was. He said nothing. He was literally frozen with fear and shock. So I grabbed him and pulled him back towards the tent. As we ran, the creature let out a horrific howl. The sound echoed through the trees, and it was like nothing I've ever heard before. We dove into the tent, piled our backpacks and gear in front of the entrance, as if that would protect us. Yeah, because you got to think, you're hiding in a nylon bag. We were both absolutely terrified. My brother was shaking, and I felt like I was going to throw up. I asked him, what should we do? He said he didn't know, but if that thing got in the tent, it would kill us for sure. A short time later, we heard a dog-like howl in the distance, and for a moment, we started to feel relieved, although I knew it might have been the second creature I had seen earlier. Then the howl was answered by another one. This one was much closer to us, as if it were right outside the tent. This thing had followed us. Then we heard scratching and digging sounds. By that point, we were both screaming hysterically. Then it suddenly stopped. After that, there was nothing but silence. Now, we waited inside the tent for at least 15 minutes, hoping it had left. Finally, we decided to risk it all and look outside. So I grabbed the flashlight, carefully peeked through the tent flap. I saw nothing. I waited a little longer, then looked out into the campsite. Nothing was there. So we decided to stay in the tent until daylight. There was no way we were going to walk through the dark woods towards my car while those creatures might still be out there. After what felt like forever, the morning light started coming through the forest canopy. We slowly exited the tent and looked around. There were large canine and human-like prints all around the campsite, especially in a circle around our tent. So we quickly gathered our gear and started hiking towards my car, which was parked in the lot about a half a mile away. When we reached the car, the first thing I noticed was a terrible stench. I didn't know what it was, but the odor was very strong. It was so strong that we could still smell it after we got in the car and drove away. My brother believes the creatures may have found the car and marked it somehow. Now, I don't know if that's true, but the stench lingered on that car for a few days. Now, when I got home after dropping my brother off at his apartment, I started online looking for answers. I found several accounts of dogman sightings throughout Ohio, but none from the specific area where we had been. That was a few years ago. My brother and I still enjoy the outdoors, but we've never returned to that area where we encountered each of these creatures. We are both more aware of our surroundings when we hike and camp now, but we do not talk about the encounter whenever we're together, Lewis.
Yeah, I wonder why.
A double take, two of them on you. And again, this is one of those things, this story like specifically made me think about it. I don't think they're out to get you. I think they feed on the fear that you produce when they're around you. I think it's some sort. Otherwise, what would it take, right? I just break it down to something simple. Well, I mean, to get through a tent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, a bobcat coming right through it if it wants to get you.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, hell, a house cat can come through a nylon tent if it wants to get after you bad enough.
100%.
You're talking about a 7-foot tall werewolf, your backpacks, and if it wanted to kill you, you would have never gotten back to camp the first time.
I agree. I think these things like to feed off fear.
Fear. It has to be.
They enjoy tormenting.
It's the torment. That's what makes them feel like demons or makes them feel some sort of evil darkness that's producing or driving these things. Yeah. So there you go, folks. Some more crazy dogman encounters along with some other weird, wild stuff. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll wrap it up. And I've got one more story I want to share with y'all, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspective.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
There we go. A bunch of creepy, crazy stories. And I've got one more I want to share.
Okay.
I've got one of these. I'll tell you the reason. When I start talking about it, you'll understand the reason that I like it. It's because of all the stuff that's been released, right? Because of the things that we've just now been told, which is funny. We didn't need to be told it was real. Most everybody's like, we have eyes.
Most of the listeners of the show are like-minded like us, right?
Like, you know, it's probably out there. This took place Rhone Mountain in eastern Tennessee. Believed it was around the late 80s to early 90s when this went down. It says, the only person I've ever told this about was my wife at the time, who is now my ex-wife. She laughed and accused me of making the whole thing up. Now, before I get into the encounter itself, I should give a little background. I was born in Mobile, Alabama in 1964. Until I was in my mid-20s, I had never been on ground much higher than a couple hundred foot above sea level. Sometime between the mid-80s and early 90s, my sister got married and moved to Rhone Mountain in eastern Tennessee. My wife and I went up there to visit her for a week one time. And for the first few days, we drove around, saw the sights, and enjoyed the mountains. Then we spent one day just hanging around the house. That evening, a few cold drinks were consumed and the grill was fired up.
Heck yeah.
And later that night, around 9 p.m., I stepped out onto the back porch to get another beer. That's when I noticed about half a dozen deer standing in the field behind the house, roughly 100 yards away. One of them had a very nice rack, and I could couldn't at the time make out exactly how many points it had. So I slipped off the porch and eased over to the corner of the fence, which put me 60 to 70 yards from the deer. I stood there against the fence watching him. The big buck looked like a 10-point at minimum, probably pushing a 200-inch deer. And that's when I noticed the moon. And when I say I noticed, I mean I really noticed it. It was huge. It looked closer than I'd ever seen it before. I'd been out in the Gulf of Mexico at night, far away from the city lights, and I had seen the moon with great detail using only my naked eye. But that night on Roan Mountain, I finally understood what the word awesome meant. I understood what it meant to be awestruck. I was supposed to be watching the deer, but I couldn't take my eyes off the huge glowing yellow-orange ball of light. It seemed almost close enough to touch. I thought I'd been standing there for about 20 minutes. Later, I realized it was close to an hour. After a while, I began feeling a tickling sensation on the back of my neck. I shrugged my shoulders and turned my neck a couple times, trying to shake loose whatever I thought it was touching me. Just then, the deer spooked and just ran away. The noise finally broke my gaze from the moon. That was when I realized I had probably been outside long enough. So I decided to go back inside, took one last look at the moon and mumbled, "Wow," because of the beauty of the sun reflecting the satellite orbiting our world. Then it hit me. I felt the hot breath of some huge creature on the back of my neck.
Uh-oh.
At the same instant, I heard or felt the deepest chest rumbling I'd ever experienced. I turned to my right, looking over my shoulder. And at first, all I could see was black as far as my peripheral vision allowed. It was all Bigfoot. This happened in a split second. When I got my head around for enough, I realized my face was maybe 8 to 10 inches from the creature's upper abdomen. Looking upward, I saw that its pectoral muscles stuck out from the chest about 6 inches. They were massive. Its chest was every bit of 4.5 feet wide. Its shoulders looked as big as basketballs, adding another foot or so on each side. From shoulder to shoulder, this thing had to be at least 6 feet wide. I did not get a good look at its hands or face, but its arms were probably even more impressive than its chest and shoulders. If Hulk Hogan had 22-inch arms, this creature had 28 to 30-inch arms. Its forearms would have made Popeye jealous.
Sounds like Mark McGuire.
Right? The arms were covered in long, dark hair, maybe 4 to 6 inches in length. If I had to estimate, this being was around 10 foot tall and weighed between 700 and 800 pounds.
Jeez.
As for its face, from my angle, all I could make out was a squared-off, bearded chin. I couldn't see its nose, eyes, ear, brow ridge, or head shape.
Or from a beer.
I cannot say whether it looked more like a man or an ape. Its arms seemed more ape-like, but its chest was more human-like, only hairier than most men. This is where the story becomes even stranger. As I said, it all happened in a split second. As I spun around and looked up, the creature rose from bent-over position to stand upright. At the same time, it took a step back and to its right. As it pulled its left leg over its right, it looked as if it were slipping through a slit in a green screen. I don't know if it was a portal or an interdimensional doorway or something else entirely. All I know is that this huge thing vanished within a split second. There was no foul smell associated with it. There was a slight musty smell, but it reminded me of the smell a horse gives off. You could smell it, but I wouldn't call it a stench. Now, I will say this. I hear a lot of people say these beings are evil, demonic, or something similar, and maybe some are. I can only speak from my experience. I got the impression that this creature was intelligent and that it somehow appreciated my interest in the moon. The it gave me made me feel this same way that I had felt had I done something good or made my grandfather proud of me. He would give me that same approving And of course, my grandfather never had the same volume or power behind it that this thing did. Anyway, I never felt in danger, and I never felt truly scared, just as being accepted by something that was happy to see me there.
Yeah.
Robert.
Well, the portal idea makes sense. That's why you never find any bones.
Yeah.
Right?
A portal, just step through. And that's, again, knowing what we know now and all the crazy stuff that people are dropping and talking about. Maybe there is a frequency that these things can use to slip in and out of the veil. Maybe it's a frequency that it can create that your eyes can't pick it up once it gets into this vibration. I don't know. I have no way of knowing.
Who knew that Bigfoot was an astronomy aficionado?
That loved the moon.
It like that you were admiring the moon. Yeah. It was like, Sounds like Papa.
Right? It does. Yeah. So there you go.
Very, very cool story. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with Cam and I, do not hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline if you want to tell it rather than typing it up, 888-393-2783. If you want more Expanded Perspectives and you want to help out the show, don't forget about our Patreon. You can just go to Patreon and look up Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can Google it or put it in your AI, whatever you choose to use. And you can find it. Also, Glimmer Man book. Yes, we got the shipment in. I have the ability now to ship them off. So message me again. If you're a Patreon member, you can get the book autographed by Cam and I for $20. If you're not a Patreon member, it's $25. And you can pay us using PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. And just send us an email or write us on Patreon or Instagram, however you want to. And we will ship those out. Cam?
Yes, sir.
I know your wife's out of town.
Yep. I got a Mother's Day gift. I'm home alone.
Yeah? What are you going to do on your Mother's Day?
I have no idea. It's supposed to rain, so I have no idea what I'm going to be doing.
I got you.
No clue.
I'm going to be making barbecue for my wife, and my mother and father are coming over. Pop's coming over.
I take that back. I know what I'm doing. I'm coming to your house to eat barbecue.
Man, come on over. Come on over if you want to. Yeah, man. If you want to help us out, you can write us a review on anything, anywhere that you listen to the podcast. You can also write reviews for the Glimmer Man book. That helps. It's silly as it sounds. It really does help.
It does, yeah. I think everybody these days understands that, yeah, if you want to help out, and you don't even have to spend any money. It's free. Wherever you're listening to it, go in there, give us reviews.
Subscribe to YouTube. We haven't put a video up in like 2 years, but you can still subscribe to the channel.
That's probably what I'll do. Is finish repainting the studio and get the new stuff going.
What were we talking about? If somebody writes a comment, what were they supposed to write this last time? Remember?
No. Gosh, I don't remember.
We've done several things in the past.
We used to do recipes. We used to do all kinds of stuff because I love it when people, I can just imagine when people go back to read the reviews, they're like, why is there like a baked potato recipe or like, you know, like a sweet potato pie recipe on here? Like, what is all this? Like, yeah, there's that.
Oh, that is cool. I got a horror fest. I'm taking Luke to in like 2 weeks.
Oh, is that the one? Yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, I've already paid for him to meet.
Little Fizzy's going to love. Well, little Fizzy ain't so little anymore. How tall is little Fizzy?
Yeah, he's like probably 5'10".
Yeah, he's pushing 6 foot.
He'll make it there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he'll probably
His big brother's already mad because I'm like, you know, he's probably going to be taller than y'all.
Which is no easy feat in itself.
Yeah, I know.
Because what are they, both 6'2 or 6'3?
Yeah, they're like 6'2".
Yeah, so yeah, he's probably going to be taller.
I'm like 5'10", but I'm probably 5'9 now. I've probably shrunk in the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's shrinking.
Me and Delia are just going to be two little tiny old people.
That's me and my wife, bro. I'm like, I'm 5'9 at my tallest.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be really big, but now that I'm older, I'm like, you know, really big people don't live long.
Yeah, I don't mind being, I'm built, look, everybody, your body type tells a lot of stuff about you. I'm built to carry heavy things like up and down hills. Right, like I'm literally built like Gimli. That's just the way it is.
A heavy hammer.
So that's it. I just built to carry stuff. And when you see Gimli run in Lord of the Rings, that's how I run.
I've seen some of your work on Instagram, your reels or whatever.
Oh yeah, where people have been sharing it. Some of the stuff that I've been
like
giving out,
steak turners and stuff.
Yeah, I've
got one.
Yeah, I've been making a bunch of those and giving them out, and I've got people asking for them and all that. So more and more people are finding out about it. Eventually, which may be sooner than later, I'll start selling a bunch of them. But yeah, I've got some stuff that I'm working on making. But yeah, I got like barbecue forks, steak flippers, just making fun stuff.
Too many
like
hobbies,
that.
Not enough time, right?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I've been making some shelves for some friends out of steel and like coat hangers where you hand do the hooks and then I hand forge it, you know, and make a hanger where you can hang your coats and stuff on like that.
And so, you were making a wooden urn the other day when I stopped over.
Yeah, I did. I finished that up. That was for my mother's, for her cat. So yeah, I've built an ossuary box or whatever it is. You can put some cat ash inside there. I need a little of that cat ass, like cat oil. It's good for your lips, like, you know. But yeah, so yeah. Dude, it's always something. I'm always building or making something for somebody. It's
no,
always
that's
like,
cool, man.
Hey, can you make that? I'm like, yeah, I could probably build that. Hey, would you make that for me? So then I start making it.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah,
I need you to make me some 300 blackout subsonic rounds.
Just so happens we have the ability to make those too.
All right,
got
folks.
All the reloading gear. I don't. Wait, the reloading thing's different. Right. The reloading thing is like where we remember is you, for all those that don't reload, you have to be dialed in. So it's one of those that you need to get some good rest. You need to set down. Everything's got to be right. This isn't something you can just hang out and have fun with because bad things can happen. You have to really be locked in on every grain, on everything that you do, because now you're talking case length. You're talking all kind. Yeah, it's math gets involved.
It brings me back to me helping my father as a kid.
Yeah.
Because that was one of his favorite hobbies was reloading. Like I said, when I grew up in the country.
Well, because he's a number junkie, dude.
I grew up, we had our own home range and everything. So you could literally go reload rounds and walk out back and try them out and stuff like that. So
I
haven't done it in probably 30 years.
I wish we could go back to the home place of y'all's and go back up on the hill and just see how much brass was still on top of that hill, or how much lead is down in the bottom of that one hill. Like, dude, because for years.
Oh, yeah, my whole childhood.
Like, for years. Like, it was almost every weekend for a long, like, literally for like 4 years or longer, 5 years. It was like every weekend we were shooting out there.
Well, ammo was so much cheaper back in the day.
It was bricks of 22 shells, and we would reload, and then you had the black powder stuff going.
Yeah, Pyrodex.
You found the cannon. Right?
Yeah, I think it's in my mother's attic.
Sweet. We're going to have to get in just to take pictures of it so we can show everybody. We ought to get it down and fire it one
time. We ought
to.
Now, people are thinking this is not like a Civil War cannon. I mean, the thing's only like, I don't know, 2.5 feet
Yeah. Yeah,
long.
It's just a little cannon.
It's not massive.
What do you think it is? Is it like a, I don't even know what the caliber would be, 70 caliber?
Probably.
Something along that lines or something.
Like that. Yeah. And I've got all the ramrods and stuff for the muzzle loaders we have. I haven't even fired that thing in 25 years.
Yeah, that thing's old enough to vote. You might as well break it out and touch it off. There's some pigs that need to get shot with an old school muzzle loader.
We can film it. Pyrodex
and
all.
Let's do it. Let's do it. That
you
got to
be
so
careful in the summer, though, hunting with those things. You'll start a grass fire real quick.
It can happen.
Sparks and stuff go shooting out.
Right, yeah, we're everybody. Not talking about the new enclosed that use a shotgun primer and use the pressed Pyrodex pellets. This is all loose powder. When you shoot, you can't see the target for a minute because the smoke's everywhere.
I have a powder horn my dad made out of steer horn.
That
remember?
Was awesome, yeah.
I still have it.
I liked it because you have to touch it off, click, and you got to wait a little bit. Click, boom, before it goes off. And they kick different. It's just a fun gun all the way around.
It'll help you get over target panic.
Yeah. Yeah, and you made it. That's what's so cool is it was just rough, raw kit. You blued everything.
Back in the day, you could go in the back of Cabela's
and
buy a 54 caliber.
Didn't yours come with two barrels, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I have a 54 cal and a 50 cal.
Yeah.
And you could buy the kit, no joke. It was $119 back in the day. And my parents thought that was a great birthday gift.
I had to
blue the steel. I agree, but now it's insane.
We shot the hell
out of
that.
There's no way I can imagine giving Luke, here, go play with this 54 caliber muzzleloader.
Dude, we did it when we were 12.
Things have changed. Probably for the better.
Where was I at? I was in some place just recently.
Your probation officer's
probably.
Office.
Probably. I was buying ammunition, and I bought a can of primer for painting minis. I'd found like some nice primer, and
You're at Atwoods.
It might have been something like that. And they were carding me for the paint and not the ammo. And I was laughing, and I'm like, you know, this used to happen when I was a kid. And I told them the story, like, we used to buy pounds of black powder. They never said a word about it. But if I was to buy modeling cement, they wouldn't sell it to me.
Yeah.
So I can buy ammunition, black powder, and 3 foot of cannon fuse. But I can't buy a can of spray paint. You don't want to be huffing paint, but you can go blow up anything you want. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the kind of life we live. It was ridiculous. But it was fun.
It was fun. I hope everybody has a fun week.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, Happy Mother's Day.
Coming up to all you mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. Call your mom. Give your mom a hug.
Yeah.
If she's not with us anymore, talk to her. You can go ahead and just spend the evening sitting there talking to her. She's listening.
I know. My wife was like, what are we doing for Mother's Day? I'm like, I don't know. You're not my mother.
Yeah, you're not
she
my mom.
She didn't like that.
Yeah, they
ask
don't.
Ask the boys.
Yeah, yeah. You need to talk to your boys. Yeah. I don't know why you're looking at me. I don't know what you're coming to me for.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Be safe. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.